host, Hal Shurtleff. This show is heard on WBCQ The Planet every Monday and Thursday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, heard all over the world. And WBCQ broadcasts out of beautiful Monticello, Maine in Arista County. But I'm down here in Boston, where it's not so bad. Anyway, it's brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among other things, runs a week-long family camp. And we have every intention of running our camp this year from July 19th to the 24th at the Singing Hills Christian Camp and Retreat Center in Plainfield, New Hampshire, about an hour north of Concord, north and east of Concord, very close to the Vermont border. Or should I say the Connecticut River. And we have a great lineup, as we do every year, including Lord Christopher Monckton, Professor Willie Soon, Alex Newman, Mrs. Catherine Wright, Reverend Stevie Kraft, Felicia Nace, who I met through our guest that we'll introduce in a minute or so. And you can learn more about our camp by visiting our website, campconstitution.net. And I know people from, we have people from as far as California and Florida attend our camp. If you're flying in, we'll pick you up at the airport, drop you off. If you're taking a train in, we'll pick you up at the train station and bring you back so you can get home. We could even offer some, potentially offer some carpooling, depending on where you are in the country. So again, visit our site. Now on the phone here is my very good friend, Mr. John Hugo of the Super Happy Fun America. How you doing, John?
Oh, we're very busy tonight, as you know. We've got a massive protest in Boston scheduled for tomorrow, and that means lots
of
phone calls,
emails. This show is broadcast. We're taping this a day in advance, so by the time this is heard, you'll hopefully get some media attention. This event will already take place. But, John, tell us a little bit about this Super Happy Fun America before we talk about the coronavirus and the resistance to it.
Well, after I finished my run for Congress, I decided that, you know, the situation in Massachusetts for conservatives was really poor, and we needed to get a group together that would get out on the streets and start affecting changes. I couldn't get a single interview, actually, when I ran for Congress, and the incumbent refused to debate. So what's a candidate to do? And we also had a very corrupt GOP, which steered 100% of the money to the governor, spent $200,000 on steak dinners and private parking, and not a penny for candidates.
Yeah.
So it's the worst of all possible situations to be a Republican running for Congress. And very frustrated by that, I and my partner, Mark Sahady, who's an Afghan war vet with the rank of captain, we got together, we decided we needed to trigger the left and to start pushing back. So we founded the group Super Happy Fun America. And we organized the world's first straight pride parade, which went crazy. It became the top story in the entire world, the top on Twitter. We even hit number one on Google. And the entire leftist media attacked me and our group nonstop for 6 months. It was amazing. And from going
well,
to a congressional campaign with no interviews, we'd do 5, 6, 7, 10 interviews a day. It was crazy.
It was amazing. I know that I interviewed you and Samson prior to the parade, and we participated at the rally, and very happy to do so. And just a few weeks ago, there was another event that took place in Boston. It was the Freedom Convoy, and I tell you,
that's
I
right.
With my son, I had more fun, and We met at the New England Aquarium, and there was about 40 vehicles, I think, by the time the
– That's right,
out.
Yep.
And we had our van with the Camp Constitution logos all over it, and my son held a large Christian flag outside the window, and we drove through, let's say, the north end of Boston and then the downtown area and Chinatown and the south end and the Back Bay, the Fens. And I tell you, we got, I don't know exactly the difference, you know, I had a drive, so I had to focus on that. But I would say that maybe 2 to 3 to 1 in our favor. People were encouraging us. They were thumbs up. Now, we did get our share of F-bombs and other nasty things and some homeless bums spitting on us, but or trying to. They didn't quite reach us. But I tell you, I had so much fun. It, like I say, it is fun to trigger the left, because it's easy to do. And what's really, it's really upsetting to see the sheep-like devotion people have, some people have. You know, it was just back in late February, the left was telling us, oh, don't avoid Chinatowns. If you do, you're a racist. Come back to Chinatown. There's no problem here. Everything is safe. Well, John, you observed the same thing. 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, Chinatown was a ghost town, and many of the restaurants, not only were they shut, but they were padlocked. And I thought, okay, where's Mayor Marty Walsh now? Where's Governor Baker now? You know, so
no, they'll just change their mind and try to blame Trump somehow. They'll turn themselves into a pretzel to do so. But we think it's ridiculous, this entire shutdown of our economy. We have the best economy in 50 years, and now it's as bad as the Great Depression.
Well, what we're seeing is this is definitely an overplay. They're definitely overplaying their hand. And the two doctors that did a video, two California emergency room doctors, they gave a really good case, and they gave statistics, they gave facts. And these doctors aren't just some people that have a little degree on their wall. They're actually in the thick of it and, you know, on the front lines. And they said, look, initially we did the right thing by shutting down. Now we know what we're dealing with, and it's ridiculous to do it, could keep this shut down. And it seems like, John, that just every day another dictate, another executive order is issued, making it even more difficult to survive.
Oh, I went to buy a bottle of wine shortly before doing your show tonight, and I was told I wasn't allowed to buy wine because I didn't have a mask on, and that was the law. Uh-huh. I said, that can't be the law. I can't breathe wearing one of those masks. You're violating the Americans with Disabilities Act, and they told me to get out very harshly. Very embarrassing. This is a store I've been shopping at for 8 years, but they just didn't care. And
they told you to get out.
It was just a shocking thing to happen. What's that?
And you see, this whole thing about a mask, the N95 mask that the surgeons use? They call it 95 because it's supposed to 95% of the stuff that could get in to do harm, you know, the bacteria, virus.
Well, I don't know all that. You seem better informed than me, but I simply can't breathe in the things. And again, I'm protected by the Americans with Disabilities Act. I don't even have to tell them my medical condition, and yet I was unceremoniously thrown out in front of a huge crowd of people and told to get out very rudely, and I found
really?
It embarrassing, and I probably will file a complaint because that's not right. I'm certainly going to go meet with the mayor because this is an outrage. You can't, you know, this is a medical dictatorship, and these are violations of my rights.
It's fascinating, too. Just a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, if I walked into a store with a mask, unless I had some kind of ailment, you know, some respiratory failure, or I was carrying a little thing of oxygen, they would have kicked me out of the store. And today I went to the bank, to the ATM machine, and I did a little Facebook video. I couldn't resist. Here was this little note on the door saying that you won't be allowed in unless you're wearing a mask. And I'm thinking, it's against the law. The state of Massachusetts and other states around the country have similar laws that if you're walking into a bank with a mask, there's a good chance you're going to hold it up or do something illegal in there, so you can't wear them. Now you can wear them.
I know. It's just astonishing how far things have gone.
It's almost like a bad horror movie where you see people walking
we're
around.
Bizarro world.
I tell you,
backwards.
I'm driving by. There's this young lady. She's waiting for a bus. Nobody is near here, but she's got her mask on. And somehow, that coronavirus is not going to affect her. And the masks they're wearing are not these. And some people just have bandanas over their mouth, and they got glasses, and they have hats, and they have gloves. And what really infuriates me, it's almost this trashy people. My wife and I went to Costco, a local, the nearest one from us in Dedham, and the little service road is just littered with masks and gloves. These people are throwing them stuff. These people that care so much about stopping the coronavirus are throwing their gloves all over the ground, on the floors and stores. I mean, can you at least wait till you get home until you do that? No, it just shows you the caliber of the mentality of these people, the caliber of their character.
We've entered a period of actual lawlessness where governors are ruling by decree. They're not even consulting the legislature, God forbid. and they're completely ignoring the Constitution. You know, I always thought if we lost our Constitution, it would be through some kind of voting process, but it is
right.
We're losing it by them simply ignoring it and choosing not to follow it. And there's remarkably little resistance. People are rolling over for this outrage. Are we that cursed generation which is going to undo that great work of our framers of our Constitution?
Well, you know, John, you're going to be one of the speakers. I'm saying past tense because when this airs, and you mentioned that our Constitution, how precious it is, and my speech, I would say something like, "We survived the intrigue of the early years of our republic with the French Illuminati trying to destroy our country, the Whiskey Rebellion. We survived
the Alien and Sedition Act comes to mind."
Well, we survived the War of 1812 and the burning of Washington, D.C. We survived the Civil War, Reconstruction. We survived World War I and World War II, all the riots in the 60s. But it looks like we even survived 8 years of Bill Clinton and 8 years of Obama and 12 years of Bush's, New World Order Bush's. We somehow survived that. Oh, the Constitution is tattered and torn, but it's still there. But it looks like if the trend continues, we're not going to survive this coronavirus. And they're talking about, well, this is going to come back in the fall, and this is a new way of life. And you got to be kidding me. I should say we also survived the Spanish flu, which killed millions more people than this thing.
Oh, no, exponentially more.
We didn't become a police state in the wake of that. Yeah, there was some.
I'm seeing people like Dennis Prager, who's by no means an alarmist, saying that this is really just a dry run for a police state. They're going to get out all the bugs. The next time they do it, it will be permanent. And again, very, very few people are actually pushing back. They're just rolling over for it. Everybody's afraid. It doesn't help that the mainstream media is fanning the flames of fear. They've got everybody up in a panic, and every single one of these, big high-tech companies, Facebook, Reddit, and anyone you can name, they're all collaborating to silence any dissent. It's really quite frightening. So you got the press, you got the Democrat Party, you've got the media, and a compliant police department, apparently. And we're literally seeing this orchestrated destruction of our Constitution, and people don't see that we're getting communism out of this. It's really quite frightening. You know, this is liberty dying by the death of a thousand cuts.
Well, we do see some backlash, rallies around the country. There was a case, I just read about it about an hour ago. It was in Oklahoma, and he was passing a law that said you have to wear a mask. Well, not a law, but just an issuing a decree. And there was lots of backlash. It was actually some threats of violence, which we don't encourage at all. So he said, well, I can't, I don't want to be responsible. So he backed off. And there was some armed people in Michigan at the state capitol. They didn't shoot anybody, but they're saying, hey, enough's enough with this nonsense. And
that's why we have a Second Amendment.
Exactly. It wasn't just to shoot deer and pigeons. It was if a government becomes too corrupt, it's to keep the government in check. A lot of people don't want to believe that, but that's why it's there.
It is hard to say. This isn't tyranny we're experiencing. They've literally banned people from going to church. God is illegal now in our country. You know, we have some friends. They went to Worcester today because a defiant Baptist minister.
Yes, Worcester, Massachusetts.
His church.
Well, yep.
And the police were there. They fined the church. They wrote down everybody's license plate. This is some real communist stuff right here we're seeing. I mean, the communism succeeds, and I am calling it communism. Communism succeeds by destroying the pillars of society. We see that where they're trying to destroy the nuclear family with all this gender madness. We're seeing
right now
that churches are actually forcibly closed, absolutely against the First Amendment. Not one church can be lawfully closed if they want to be open, and yet we're seeing this in the entire country. I mean, this is how democracy dies.
Well, we're seeing that we're seeing a lot of churches just rolling over. Well, we're going to go virtual And you know, what's going to happen is that these church buildings, most of them are mortgaged. And if people aren't going to church, they may not be tithing, especially if they're not working or even making any contributions to the church and other organizations. So you say, okay, pastors, now you want to comply with your 501c3 church? You're not going to have one, right?
Right, nobody's flying in airplanes right now, which is, you know, what AOC wants. Nobody flying in planes. She's getting her wish.
That's right. But let's. There's a lot of doom and gloom, and this is far from over. But I think there's some takeaways from this that can work in our favor. And you know, a small thing I think of is the stupid plastic bag bans. Within a short time, they reverse them, and they say where they used to encourage you to bring your recyclable bag or reusable bag.
Now that's illegal.
Bring it in. Absolutely, you can't bring it in now. Well, when this blows over. What then? Is that going to, are those stupid environmental policies going to change? And the notion of open borders. Now, this is what infuriates me. You've got Mayor Walsh and big city mayors around the country that love the idea of flooding this country with illegal aliens. We have no idea what they may be carrying. And one reason why we have border control is to make sure people don't come in with communicable diseases. There's another reason we don't want anarchists and communists and revolutionaries, but that's the folks they want here.
We've seen diseases that have been eradicated that are coming back in this country, like smallpox.
That's right. That's right. So they shut the borders down, and now these leftists want to shut down borders of states, like the crazy leftist governor of Rhode Island that arrested two guys for playing golf, and they were just from nearby, and they were just two of them on the golf, you know, whatever they were doing, their distancing, their 6 feet or whatever the Center for Disease Control is recommending. It was interesting, too, the WHO, which is nothing more than an arm of the communist Chinese government these days, they told us back in January that you can't transmit it person to person. We have to listen to the WHO and the
wholly owned subsidiary of the globalist movement.
Exactly. Well, it's an arm of the UN, and anything from the UN is rotten. And perhaps, and I'm so glad that Trump pulled us out or stopped funding it. We need to get out of the UN completely. But that's a part. That, you know, so there's a few good takeaways here. We just have to push the issue. I'm just optimistic that some Americans will say, you know, enough's enough. I feel pretty silly wearing this mask. I'm walking down the street with my wife holding her hand and petrified, and I see someone who doesn't have a mask. They run across the street. They've got to feel pretty silly. I mean, how long can this charade go on?
It is a charade, but people have been conditioned to think that anyone who pushes back is trying to murder people. I've been told that multiple times myself. How dare you? Do you want my mother to die? What's wrong with you? And, you know, they don't realize we're defending them. We're standing up for their rights. Once our Constitution's gone, brother, it's never coming back. Look at all the once liberal democracies around the world, like Australia and New Zealand, where they've confiscated the guns and immediately come to draconian laws. As soon as they got the guns, the trouble starts, happens over and over. History repeats itself.
That's right. And, again, we have far too many people that are just willing to comply. But, again, people like you. And I'm so happy to that you've organized or helped out. I know that Jeff Kuhner, who was a very popular, I would say one of the most popular talk show hosts in New England, if not the most popular talk show host, he's on a 50,000-watt station, WRKO.
Oh, yeah, he's the best. We love Jeff Kuhner.
He's been saying this, you know, he's been saying it for a while. And he said, yeah, there's a problem. This is not a good, this virus is not a good thing. It's killing people, but most of the people are over that are 80 and above, or they have some type of pre-existing condition. They might have high blood pressure. They may have diabetes. They may be obese or what have you. And here's another thing too. And it's not, I haven't heard too much being said about it, but people who have immune deficiencies are more susceptible to this disease of coronavirus. You don't hear much about it. But these same people that are telling us to stay in our house, lock everything down, don't come out, have been the ones that have been promoting the sexual practices that lead to this. Very proudly marching.
And let's not forget, they're making sure the abortions keep going.
Oh, the abortion clinics are wide open. Yes, that's an essential
That's essential services, but church isn't. My spiritual life is very essential to me, thank you.
You know something, during time, I flew out on a plane on September 11th, 2001, leaving Logan Airport in Boston, the same terminal where a few of the planes, I was there about an hour later, and my flight was, the flight was a stop in Detroit, but it was going on to Los Angeles, so it could have very well been targeted by the terrorists. That evening and that next day, I'm in western Pennsylvania with my colleague driving to Pittsburgh. We actually went to the town where that plane crashed. We were very close to the town. I noticed going by church, I saw American flags everywhere. People were selling them on the streets, and every single church was full. People, usually churches have their Wednesday service. At some times they have, 20%. Places were packed. Every church. They didn't close the churches. They were wide open. The churches are an important, and synagogues are an important aspect to this. This is where you find solace. This is where you find spiritual guidance. It's real. It's not. And most of these mayors are atheists or secularists or. And
certainly the Democrat Party is the party of atheism.
They give lip service. They might have black, they go to black churches and they try to pretend that they're one, we're brothers and all that. They use biblical references on occasions. I know Nancy Pelosi, you hear her using biblical references. What a fraud. But really.
What do they call that when they kick you out of the church there?
Excommunicated.
Drawing a blank. Excommunicated.
Sorry about my
brain cramp there.
Well, she's supposed to be a Catholic.
She has a lot of nerve. She's pushing the gender madness and the abortion, and she has the nerve to call herself a Catholic.
And what's interesting, too, is that she'll deliberately misstate something like Trump, where she's saying, Trump telling us to drink bleach and drink Lysol. He made no such thing. He never, ever said. I'm listening. It was at the White House press conference, and there's a doctor who's talking about Lysol has been used to kill the virus within seconds. And Trump is asking a question about injecting certain things. Next thing you know, he wants us to drink bleach. Well, if you're an intelligent adult, even a five-year-old, you don't drink bleach. It's just not done,
Apparently, Christian Nancy Pelosi doesn't know thou shalt not lie.
Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not bear false witness. And
yep.
It's not a commandment.
That too, yep, that's true.
She tore up Trump's speech during the State of the Union. He handed her a copy.
Which was actually an official document. She was breaking the law doing that. But she didn't give a damn about the law.
The law
is whatever suits her.
The left is above the law. Well, I really think this is going to bite them in the rear end. I think it's going to get them lots of people. And you see, the more this is coming out of the exaggerations of the number of deaths, the various hospitals that are told, look, if anyone dies, no matter what, it's corona, and they've adjusted some of the numbers. The more the information comes out, the more they double down. In other words, they're not going to ever admit that they overextended themselves and made mistakes by trying to destroy the.
They never apologize.
No, they don't, because this is what they want. This is exactly what they want. And what makes it worse now, New York City. If you took New York City with the numbers of fatalities, and I think it's, if it was a country in itself, I think it would be third in the number of deaths per capita. That just shows you it's de Blasio and Cuomo have totally mishandled this. Trump sent
they forced people who were infected to go back to nursing homes and infect everybody else. Those are the people
right.
You quarantine. Like we said before, you quarantine the sick, not the healthy.
And that's the founding fathers, when they gave us this great constitution, there was a smallpox epidemic or pandemic, and they know how to deal with it. You don't if you have smallpox, you quarantine. You don't quarantine everybody. And they also had yellow fever epidemics too, which we don't see much anymore.
This is long before modern medicine, and they certainly handled it better than we are today with all of our
ingenuity. Absolutely. And they didn't stop living and stop doing things because of this. But it looks like, and not only that, but the immune system needs to be built up. And what we're doing is we're just sheltering ourselves, shelter in place. We're sheltering our natural immune system. And, you hear various doctors say, look, Ron Paul, he said, go outside in the sun, vitamin D,
exactly.
Vitamin A, the cod liver oil, cod liver oil was everybody, to every little kid. It was interesting. You watch the old Argan comedy, The Little Rascals, and you would have the cod liver oil. It was such an unpleasant thing. It would take it every day, but it's horrible. Now they put little flavors in it. It doesn't taste that bad at all. And it basically eradicated a lot of the diseases by the 1950s. Kids had a good immune system. And now, everybody has got masks, and everybody is, because we're not necessarily eating the best food in the world, too, and drinking the best things. But there's just so many things we can do besides hiding and destroying our economy and wearing masks and keeping ourselves from people and so forth. Well, John, we got about four minutes left. Super Happy Fun America, and it's kind of interesting too because it's such a ridiculous name. Oh, tell us why you chose a name like that.
Oh, it was deliberate because like I told you, every single liberal establishment attacked us, and we knew that was going to happen. So I thought of this name. It was so ridiculous. So when I see Cuomo on the news attacking me, or The View attacking us like they did, or Stephen Colbert saying Super Happy Fun America, F you. It's hilarious because they have to keep saying that stupid name, and they look so silly. Or they say Super Happy Fun America's a hate group. It just sounds silly, so that's why we did it,
Well,
it works like a charm. It's really funny.
You took a chapter out of Ivy Lee's book. Ivy Lee was a great publicist, and I think Rockefeller hired him, the old man Rockefeller. When you announced that Brad Pitt was the honorary chairman of the honorary.
Oh, yeah, he was our mascot.
And, of course, Brad Pitt, he's so far left, it's ridiculous. And then he actually responded, his attorney got to you and said, hey, cease and desist. And if they just shut their mouth, but it made national news, 2 months before the event, right, back in June.
Oh, we made international news. We literally had 61 reporters flying from all over the world. It was unbelievable. My phone never stopped ringing. And you can't name a single liberal establishment that didn't attack us. Every single Hollywood actor, but we stopped counting at 70. It was amazing. The entire left was triggered by what we did. And we did this on a shoestring budget and still had an awesome parade, even though the press kept lying, saying there'd be 10 of us. We had a massive parade. It was the best.
Well, there would have been more. We were running a little late. I was escorting Barbara from Harlem and her daughter, Bibi.
Oh, yeah, and the mayor of Boston confiscated our American flags because he claimed we used
those
weapons. We had no arrests on our side, even though the media reported clashes. That just wasn't true. And they actually, about half the people who came to get in the parade, they were blocked from getting in, which was outrageous. But, this is what we're dealing with.
There were 36 of the leftists.
36 arrests, and every single charge, including 9 assaults on police, were dismissed by our far-left DA, Rachel Rollins. This is also what we're dealing with. Yes, Rachel Rollins.
That's right. She emptied the jails of some of the criminals, even some of the violent.
That's what's going on in every single liberally run city. They are lawless. In San Francisco, you can walk into a store with a hefty bag, fill it with merchandise, and walk out. And the worst thing you can do. It's write you a ticket. Yep.
They'll write you a ticket. But if you don't wear your mask, in Massachusetts, Comrade Baker, Tall Duvall, that's named out. Baker's about 6'5", 6'6", so they name him Tall Duvall, who was the former Deval Patrick, the former left-wing Democrat.
Yep, cut from same cloth. He's no Republican, believe me.
Or Charlie Parker, as what Biden calls him.
Charlie Parker is a few fries short. Yeah, he's a few fries short of a happy meal, Joe Biden.
he said, you have to wear your masks or you'll be fined. Well, I think I know the question, and I call the city of Boston, and I that 311 number, you know, the Ministry of Love.
Oh, great!
And I said, is Boston going to be a sanctuary city for mass? You make it a sanctuary city for violent illegal aliens. Could you make it a sanctuary city for the maskless, you know, the people who don't wear masks? And it's interesting, you know, it's almost biblical now. Not that I'm a big advocate of last day prophecies, but it talks about if you don't have the number. And I don't, anyway, I'm an amillennialist, but anyway, a lot of my friends are premillennialists, and they say the number 666 will be tattooed, and if you don't get it, you can't eat, you can't buy, you can't make, you know, any commercial transaction.
Well, I was denied the right to buy today, so who knows? Maybe it's a trial run.
So now, I guess the mark of the mask is now instead of the mark of the
beast. The mark of the mask.
To, well, anyway, I said, are you going to arrest me if I don't wear my mask? You want me to violate a state law and a federal law, you said, the Americans with Disability Act, which if I had more time, although the ADA is unconstitutional, but we can get to that another time. Hey, we're running out of time, John. Thank you so much for coming on short notice. We will see you soon. God bless you and your wonderful organization. And folks, thanks for listening. You've been listening to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shirtliff. And until next week, may God bless you.